Radio Prague News.
Czech President Miloš Zeman has made clear he will not meet with two recently released Czech hostages. The former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross suspects that he was poisoned. And in sport, Jaromír Jágr scores twice in a must-win game for the Florida Panthers. President Miloš Zeman has said he will not meet with two young women who were kidnapped in Pakistan in 2013 and were released last Friday thanks to the Turkish Humanitarian Relief Foundation. In a live interview for Frekvence 1 radio, the president said that the girls had acted recklessly and had caused problems not only for themselves but their families and those who negotiated to work for their release, indeed for the whole country. The president said he hoped this would be a lesson to them as well as any others who might consider similar risks. At the same time, Mr. Zeman said he would very much like to meet with the people who contributed to the young women's release. Former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross, who is seriously ill and is reported to be suffering from amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, believes he was poisoned, the Czech news agency has reported. According to his lawyer and close friend, Miroslav Jansta, Mr. Gross had samples of his hair analyzed to try and prove his suspicion. The hair sample tests, done 2 years ago after doctors confirmed the fatal diagnosis, reportedly uncovered an unusually high content of heavy metals, which could damage the nervous system. Doctors nevertheless consider the former prime minister's theory improbable. Neurologist Tomáš Schindler told the news agency he did not know of any case where AIS had developed in reaction to external poisoning. The first part of an American convoy traveling across the Czech Republic headed for army barracks in an outer Prague district experienced delays on the road on Monday, traveling from Liberec, the Czech army reported. An unrelated road accident slowed traffic, leading the convoy to transfer to an alternate route. They have since arrived at the barracks in Prague, Ruzyně. Three columns of U.S. forces have been traveling across the Czech Republic from the Baltic states after taking part in Operation Atlantic Resolve. The aim was to highlight NATO and the United States' dedication to stability in Europe in the face of Russian intervention in Ukraine. The convoy of some 120 vehicles and 500 personnel is regrouping in Prague before later continuing the journey to Plzeň and to the Army's home base in neighboring Germany. In sport, Czech NHL hockey forward Jaromír Jágr scored 2 goals on Sunday to help the Florida Panthers defeat Ottawa and keep alive hopes for a playoff berth. The final score was 4-2. The player told the media that everyone on the team was aware of the game's importance and had called Sunday's match a Game 7, referring to the NHL playoff series system. The veteran player only recently joined Florida from New Jersey. The goals on Sunday were the 699th and 700th of Jágr's NHL career. Florida hold the second wild card in the playoffs for the Eastern Conference. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, high emotions preceded the arrival of US convoy in the Czech Republic. We have the roundup of the latest Czech sports news, and later on in the program we'll be featuring a special about two Czech women who were released on Friday after spending 2 years in captivity. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Thousands of Czechs have been lining roads and motorways to welcome US soldiers passing through the country after maneuvers in the Baltics. This public support has reportedly been more enthusiastic than other stages on their trek, evidently in response to media coverage of anti-American voices in recent weeks. Ian Willoughby has the story.
Around 500 soldiers from the US Army's 3rd Squadron, 2nd Cavalry Regiment crossed from Poland into the Czech Republic on Sunday. They were on their way back to Germany after taking part in exercises in the Baltics. The soldiers have encountered protesters bearing anti-American and anti-NATO banners. But in the main, they've been enthusiastically welcomed by large crowds, some waving the stars and stripes and waiting hours in the rain. The trek, which includes organized meetings with the public, is aimed at showing solidarity with America's allies in the region in the wake of Russia's recent actions in Ukraine. The Dragoon convoy, in reference to the unit's nickname, was on Sunday welcomed in that spirit in Pardubice by Yarmila Stibitsova, a Charter 77 signatory and activist.
It is a certain symbol, and it's necessary to show our solidarity, like the Baltic states and Poland, to show we are on their side and that we are not disgracing the Czech nation.
Support for the Americans has reportedly been more enthusiastic in the Czech Republic than on the previous stages of the so-called Dragoon Ride. This follows media coverage of vocal critics such as ex-politician Jiří Vyvadil, who describes Ukraine's Maidan as a Western-sponsored putsch. Journalist Daniel Anij covers U.S.-Czech relations. He says many Czechs turned out for fear that mainly anti-NATO voices would be heard.
I think that was a useful clarification, this convoy, and mainly what happened before. I mean, with the propaganda from the other side, that suddenly the question was quite simple. Do you still believe that we are part of NATO and that we should value the membership? And when asking in the light of convoy, then they just came out.
So if it was something of a propaganda battle, did the US side win? Prague-based American commentator Eric Best says it may not be so simple.
It's hard to say exactly what they wanted to achieve. If they wanted to achieve the same thing that they got in the Baltic countries and in Poland, where it was almost just positive, then you can't really say that that was achieved here. If the objective was to raise a controversy and to show that more pro-Americans are going to turn out than pro-Russians, then again, they succeeded. But it's really hard to say what the objective was, because really what we have now is more of an awareness that there is a potential conflict with Russia. And I'm not really sure that was the objective of the U.S. side.
The American troops have been arriving in Prague on Monday. They'll return to Germany in 2 days' time.
Ian Willoughby with that report. But now Chris Johnston has the roundup of the latest Czech sports news.
We start the sports news with football, and the Czech national team lost their 100% winning record in the 2016 European Championship qualifications at home against Lithuania on Saturday. The visitors took the lead in the 30th minute after a mix-up from a Czech free kick, with Sparta Prague's Borek Dočkal taking the blame. The Czech side were better in the second half, but had to wait until the last minute for substitute striker Václav Pilar to equalise. The Czechs are still top of the qualification table, but only 1 point ahead of Iceland. Manager Pavel Verba was asked after the match whether the draw complicated qualification.
It is obviously a complication. After the previous game, we were overjoyed because we picked up points which we weren't counting on. Today, on the other hand, we probably thought we would get more points than we have. But I should repeat that I think the draw was the right result. It of course means that the points we dropped at home, we must pick up against Iceland. I hope we can pull that off and the situation will be all right. Qualification is like that.
Staying with football, Czech and Sparta Prague attacker David Lafata was named Footballer of the Year this week. Lafata replaces Chelsea goalkeeper Petr Cech, who has taken the title for the last 6 years in a row. Lafata was the second highest scorer in the Czech top league last season, with his goals helping Sparta Prague to win the Czech League, Cup and Super Cup. The 33-year-old reputation took a dent last week after he admitted diving in the penalty area to draw a crucial league game. In ice hockey, Litvinov and Trinets have taken early leads in the playoffs. Trinets won Sunday night's dramatic duel against Sparta Prague in extra time 5-4 after a more convincing 6-2 victory in the first game. Vladimir Roth scored the winning goal in Sunday's game and had this to say about the match.
We went to sleep in the first period and weren't moving well. During the break, we said that we would be a different team afterwards, and that's what helped us turn things around. Sparta and our team are both strong, and it was up and down a lot, but with a happy end for us.
Litvinov left it till the third period to draw level and then take a 2-1 lead in the second tie against Kometa Brno after the visitors dominated for most of the match. Litvinov looked a lot more assured after taking an early 2-goal lead in the first match, with the final score ending 3-2 in their favour. And finally, Kenyan Daniel Wanjiru won the Prague Half Marathon in 59 minutes 51 seconds. His countryman Wilfried Murgo was second, 6 seconds behind, with the race favourite Leonard Komon pipped into third place. The fastest woman was Ethiopian Werknes Degefa, with a personal best of just over 1 hour and 7 minutes. The windy conditions meant that hopes of breaking the course record set in 2012 quickly disappeared.
Thank you, Chris Johnston. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up next, two Czech women who were kidnapped in Pakistan in 2013 returned home on Friday after the Turkish Humanitarian Relief Foundation, IHH, secured their release. The good news reverberated around the country, but even 48 hours later, no details have emerged as to who held the young women captive or where they spent the past 2 years. Daniela Lazarová has more.
It was news that the Czech Republic had practically given up hoping for. On Saturday morning, radio and TV news anchors reported that Hanna Humpalová and Antonie Hrastecká, who were kidnapped while travelling through Pakistan's western Baluchistan province in March of 2013, had been released and were now back in the Czech Republic. Czech television ran parts of an interview with the two women made in Turkey at the Humanitarian Relief Foundation, which secured their release. They appeared on camera wearing headscarves and long gowns, looking drawn and exhausted but without apparent injuries. Hanna Humpalová tried to explain her feelings.
Actually, at the beginning, we were not sure that we are going home. And when we get here, it was, I don't know how to describe it. It was just like you see a new world and like new world and new life, and you hope that you can start living a different way. Then, for example, when I first time saw the sun, or when I first time saw somebody smiling at me, it was. Such basic things which you normally don't see there.
The two friends who set out on a trip to India via Iran and Pakistan were just 24 years old when gunmen took them off a bus in Pakistan's western Baluchistan province, and they disappeared without a trace. Hanka recalled the day that radically changed their lives.
We were in the bus and some group of men stopped the bus and ordered us to go with them and give them passports and all our things. Actually, we don't know anything about them. Till now, they haven't introduced to us themselves, so we don't know the name of the group. We don't know anything about them. They didn't explain us anything. The beginning was, I think, the worst for us because it was big change and we were really scared of them. It was my first time to see the gun and to see people who look like they can use the gun. And we also heard some bombs and some firing around. So we were really scared in the beginning.
The Czech government immediately launched diplomatic efforts to try to secure the young women's release, but there appeared to be little progress, and as the month went by, hopes started to fade. In 2014, the girls' captors released two videos on Facebook, one on June the 26th and another on October 30th, in which they asked the government for help, saying their lives were in danger. In one of the videos, the women read a request for the release of Afia Siddiqui, a Pakistani neuroscientist serving an 86-year sentence in a U.S. prison. In another, Hanna and Antonia said they had been separated and knew nothing about each other's fate. Antonia begged the Czech authorities to do everything in their power to bring them home, while Hanka said she did not know how much time she had left and explained where she wanted to be buried. Since those two videos, there had been nothing, despite the fact that the authorities professed that everything possible was being done to secure the girls' release. The announcement that they were free came like a bolt from the blue. It later emerged that 2 months ago, the young women's families had turned to the Turkish Humanitarian Relief Foundation for help, feeling that all other avenues had been exhausted. The organization promised to do what it could, and 2 months later, it was able to report success. However, the IHH released no details as to how it had secured their release or who their captors were. IHH Foreign Relations Coordinator Izzet Sahin told Czech television.
When I first saw them, they were just tired. Spiritually, they were very strong, but physically they were tired because it was a long trip for them. We dealt with the representative of the armed group in Pakistan who kidnapped the girls, and we did not go behind. And it was not our target to go and search who they are.
The Czech authorities, who say they have received relevant information with regard to the case, have refused to disclose any details. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said the important thing was that the young women were home safe and wished them a quick recovery and a return to a normal, peaceful life. There were indications that the IHH is involved in trying to secure other hostages and did not want to jeopardize its chances by revealing information about this particular operation, as well as unconfirmed claims that the women's health condition required medication, which had helped to secure their release. Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bielobrádek came closest to giving any specific information when he told Czech television that the girls were lucky they had not been held by terrorists but by criminals out to make money from their ransom. However, no one has confirmed that a ransom had been requested or paid, and responding to a direct question, Interior Minister Milan Chovanec said the Czech Republic did not negotiate with terrorists nor pay ransom money. If there is one thing all Czech officials are united on, it is the merit of the IHH in securing the young women's release. Both Prime Minister Sobotka and Czech President Miloš Zeman gave the agency full credit for saving the young women and expressed their gratitude on the part of the Czech Republic. Antonie Hrastecka, known to her friends as Tonča, said she could not believe she was finally free. Here are her first words for reporters in Turkey upon her rescue.
You can't imagine how I feel now. I can't believe that we are free and we will meet our family. And I'm so happy because I was waiting on it two years in one room. I was waiting only for the meeting with my family, so... I'm a little nervous and tired, but I'm so happy. It was hard because I feel so bad because I was separated without my family. So it was so hard. So I want from the first moment I want to go home to be with my family. I can't believe and I don't want to go sleep because I'm a little afraid that I will wake up and I will know that it was only a dream, that I am free.
Today, the young women are undergoing medical tests and are in the care of a psychiatrist. According to Czech officials, they're housed at a secret location and have been given heightened security in order to protect them from prying eyes and excessive media interest, as well as to give them time to recover from the ordeal in a safe environment. They have reportedly met with family members who are also refusing to speak to the press. Officials have repeatedly asked the media to respect the young women's and their families' privacy, saying that it is up to them to decide when or even if they want to talk about their deeply traumatic experience in captivity.
And that special by Daniela Lazarova brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franjková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.